Drive Time on RT Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When it comes to pensions, performance counts. Speak to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Now, the actors Sean Bean, Tom Cruise and Jared Butler are among those who've been accused of crimes against the Irish accent. Perhaps one of the most iconic was that of Thomas Mitchell in Gone with the Wind.
Do you mean to tell me, Katie Scarlett O'Hara, that Tara, that land doesn't mean anything to you? Why, land is the only thing in the world worth working for, worth fighting for, worth dying for. Because it's the only thing that lasts.
Oh, Paul, you talk like an Irishman.
It's proud I am that I'm Irish.
Oh, time and again, actors seem to fail to make the grade when it comes to how we speak here. Wild Mountain Thyme, Leap Year, and even most recently, Alexander Vlahos got a bit of a hard time for his efforts in Irish Rish, where he stars with Lindsay Lohan.
I would be nowhere without this amazing woman and brilliant writer in her own right, my book editor, Madeline Kelly. Madeline, come here, come here. This is our night, Madeline. You and me. We did this together.
I mean, they are trying. They don't all get it wrong. Here is Daisy Edgar-Jones in Normal People.
Did you ever think about asking me to the dips? I know it's such a stupid thing, but I'm curious whether you thought about it.
To be honest, no.
But it seems that we Irish are particularly adept at figuring out a fake accent. That's actually according to research that's been published in the Journal of Evolutionary Human Sciences. And one of those researchers joins us now on the line, Jonathan Goodman from the University of Cambridge. Good evening, Jonathan.
Hi, thanks so much for having me.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the research?
Absolutely. So basically, we were really interested in studying the kind of evolutionary origins of accents with the hypothesis that accents are a signal of a person's social identity. So, for example, when you're talking to me, even though I haven't told you where I'm from, you can probably sense that I'm not from the UK or Ireland. Mm-hmm. And that has something to do with the phonemes I'm using and the emphasis that we place on those phonemes in determining a person's place of origin, something about their identity. That suggests that that's been really important over the course of our evolutionary history. So going in with that kind of hypothesis in mind, we wanted to see whether people would be good across the board at telling when someone was faking an accent.
Okay, and what accents did you decide to look at?
So we chose 7 accents across the UK and Ireland. In England, we had the Northeast, so the Dorey, I guess it's called, and Essex, Bristol, and then received pronunciation, and most of those people came from London. And then we had Glasgow, Belfast, and Dublin.
And tell us, what did you find?
So interestingly, the first major finding, and this is what we predicted in accordance with our kind of evolutionary hypothesis, was that across the board, regardless of where people are from and what the accent was in question, people were quite a bit better than chance at telling when someone was faking an accent. About 2/3 of the time, people were getting this right. And that's a really interesting finding. It suggests that there's something about when someone fakes an accent, even if you aren't necessarily familiar with that accent, you can tell that there's something off about how someone's pronouncing some of those phonemes, keeping in mind that some of these clips were 2 or 3 seconds long. So in everyday conversation, it would probably be quite a bit higher than that.
Really? And does it depend on the person? Like, I'm actually really bad now at accents. I'm not a very musical person. I'm not good. Cormac, on the other hand, is very good. And I know other people who are very good who could spot, figure out where somebody's from very, very easily. I'm not like that. So does it depend on the person, or is this actually about where you're from?
I think it almost certainly does depend on the person, and we saw quite a bit of variance in the results. Although I would say that it's not quite the same thing as detecting someone's accent. It's when you detect that someone's faking, it's kind of like trying to tell if someone's lying. They're misrepresenting themselves, and that goes a bit past the specific phonemes that you might associate with a given accent.
So is it like people know there's something off there, but
yeah,
maybe
probably
they haven't necessarily twigged it as being the accent that's off, that just something sounds off?
Yeah, I think that's going to happen a lot of the time, particularly when you get into scenarios where someone's really trying to trick you about where they're from, right? You might pick up that there's something going on there that's not quite right.
So you found then that people from Belfast and Glasgow are the best at spotting when someone's faking their accent. Do we have any idea why?
So we weren't testing for this exactly. So we've had to kind of speculate about what the reason might be. And our best guess is that it has something to do with what we can call the cultural or ethno-linguistic homogeneity. To the degree that we have greater diversity in a given region, we might expect people to be a little less attuned to in-group, out-group relationships. That's really our best guess, because RP speakers did very badly.
So sorry, you're going to have to explain that to me again. So is it, if you're living, for example, in London, where there's loads and loads of different accents, you're less likely to spot things that are wrong?
A faker, yeah. And there might be a little less emphasis placed on it.
Okay. And would it have anything to do with the fact that people in Belfast would often have very strong accents, and the same with people in Glasgow would have very strong accents? Does that make a difference at all?
It might, yeah. And, you know, the social and political reasons that someone might really want to place emphasis on their own accent, that might also play a role.
We have a text here saying that Daisy in that clip that we played from Normal People sounded very like me. So there you go. That person obviously also doesn't have a very musical ear, I think, but maybe I'm wrong. Would people emphasise their accent to deliberately let people know where they're from then, if this is all about sort of signalling?
Yeah, I think undoubtedly that's going to happen in some scenarios, or they might try to emphasize an accent that's, you know, maybe not theirs. Maybe it's the new place that they're living in order to try to get away from that social identity. And that's going to happen on an unconscious or conscious basis. It's going to depend from person to person, you know, what their priorities are, how they want to appear to others, and from situation to situation.
So I will see that actually all the time with people that I might know from Cork or Kerry or different places around Ireland. And if they're talking to me in Dublin, you know, they're talking in a certain way. But if they go home, or if I am with them in their home county, suddenly the Cork comes out in them. So that is actually a signalling thing.
Yeah, and it's absolutely fascinating. People, I do that. You know, I speak with what people might call a standard North American accent, but when I go back home to Atlanta, a little bit of a Southern twang comes out.
And is that a conscious thing, or you're saying it can be both, conscious or unconscious?
I think it's probably both, and it's going to entirely depend on who you're talking to and, you know, how you want to make yourself appear to them.
Is it partly about trust then as well? You can trust me, I'm one of you?
Undoubtedly, from a kind of evolutionary point of view, that would have undoubtedly been the origins, that when we don't know someone who's, you know, a stranger to us that comes into our group, the way they speak is going to send us a bunch of signals about whether we can trust them. And if we detect that they're faking, that might be something that might lead us to have a kind of negative bias against them.
I don't know. Do you have a favourite Irish accent, Jonathan?
I do quite like the Cork accent, actually.
Oh, really? Okay, I can't help you there now. If Cormac was here, he could help you, but I can't help you there. What were the sentences people had to listen to? Because I know you're only doing like little short sentences.
Yes, so we designed them with a phonetician at Cambridge. So, you know, as anthropologists, we didn't have a lot of experience in linguistics, so it really required kind of interdisciplinary a relationship. And the phoneticians helped us to design sentences that teased out phonemes between the accents we were interested in. So, for example, in the South, you know, of England, received pronunciation, people might say bath, whereas in the North they might say bath. And if you design a sentence in such a way that you can squeeze those kinds of words in, you can really tell, you can delineate between accents quite effectively.
Okay, so I actually have some of the sentences here. You know, I'd love actually to get people around, from around Ireland to say these sentences and hear them together. Hold up these two cooked tea bags. That's one of them. He thought a bath would make him happy, and she kicked the goose hard with her foot. I'd love to hear them.
They are completely outrageous.
They really are.
Now, what are you going to do? It's science, right?
We have a treat for you, Jonathan. You mentioned that Cork was your favourite accent. And in fact, we had a report from Cork earlier. So here's a listen to some of your favourite accent.
Okay. No, for me personally, I think we should build up the armed forces, and I think we should join it, right? And we're on the fringe of Europe.
We're here in an area where obviously the likes of Apple employ thousands of people. Do, yeah. We're very dependent on FDI.
Yeah, we are. Yeah. And we must play along to...
There you go, Jonathan. Did you enjoy that?
Wow. That I'm aghast. Yeah, that was amazing.
We have a couple of texts in on this before I let you go. One person says there's only one thing worse than someone attempting an Irish accent, and that's an Irish attempt at a French accent. Well, of course, we have some interesting examples of that. Ron O'Gara speaking in French in an Irish accent, which is a whole different thing. He's a rugby coach. Another person says Jim Cagney in Shake Hands with the Devil. The rest of the cast were mostly Brits. Michael Redgrave, etc. They butchered the Irish accent. That comes from Richie in Wexford. I don't know, did any of this look at Jonathan? Are there any accents in particular that are more difficult to do? That wasn't really part of your research, was it?
No, it's not, but it's a really interesting question. A lot of people have asked me that recently. But the thing we really want to get across here is that it's going to be relative to the speaker and the listener, right? So if you're talking about faking an accent, there's no accent that's going to be inherently more difficult for the human mouth and larynx to produce. It's about what your what you're used to hearing and what you're used to producing yourself, and also the person who you're talking to, how adept they are at picking up that particular accent. So it's always going to be relative to that relationship.
Okay, well, really fascinating speaking to you, and thank you so much for joining us. That's Jonathan Goodman, researcher at Cambridge's Leverhulme Centre for Human Evolutionary Studies. Thank you very much indeed.